Colossians chapter 3 and beginning in verse number 18. Colossians 3 and beginning in verse number 18. In fact, I wasn't sure where everybody was set, so I kind of got on that side. I'll get over here to the middle. Then I hollered. Okay, Colossians chapter number 3 and beginning in verse 18. Let me read these for you. For those of you who were at the seminar Friday and Saturday, these are some verses we didn't cover. Believe it or not, there's an awful lot in the Bible about marriage. Because that's very important to God. God has only ordained two institutions on the face of the earth: the marriage, the home, and then the church. The home and the church. Nothing else was started by God. That doesn't mean things like Youth for Christ or Campus Crusade, started by a friend of mine, Bill Bright. There's a lot of these great organizations, and they see hundreds and thousands saved. But folks, there's only two things that God ordained, and that's the home and the family. A home and the church. I'll be all right in a minute. The home and the church. So God says a lot about it. And here he talks about the Christian home. Beginning in verse 18. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Or in other words, as the Lord wants you to do it. Okay? Submit to your own husband as is pleasing to the Lord. The way he wants it done. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Or literally, do not resent them in any way. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Pray with me, please. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instructions, Lord. It really doesn't matter what it is. If we'll just look to the Word, we'll find the answer. Help us to be faithful to look for the answer, to look into the Word, to see what your answer is. The world's got an answer for everything. But I've found that it's normally always wrong. But you also have an answer for everything. And I have found without a doubt it's always right. It's always proper. In fact, it's always best for me. And I think that's true in the life of every born-again child of God. If we'll do it your way, Lord, it ultimately will work. It ultimately will please you. And that is so important. All things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are the called according to his purpose. So let's just follow his instructions. And it'll always turn out a whole lot better. Okay. Three things I want to look at this morning. First of all, the family is God's institution. Remember we said there's only two things, institutions that God ever ordained. And one of those is the family, and the family is God's institution. And it's just like the church. Friday night and all day Saturday, we just kept going back to Ephesians 5. And the last half of Ephesians 5, over and over again, talks about the home and the family, and then it talks about the church. And it just bounces back and forth. One verse will be about the church, the next one about the home, then the church, then the home, then the church. Why? Because they're identical, and they should run identically. I realize on the outside, maybe they look a lot different, but folks, they are not different, okay? It's important, as I said a moment ago, that we do it God's way. Family is God's institution. Husband and wife are to what? Read the Bible together. Read the Bible together. Now, you need to read it separately, okay? You need to read the Bible by yourself. But as a husband and wife, you need to read it together. There needs to be a time every day when you get into the Word. I so appreciate, I don't know who to give credit to, or maybe both, Todd and Laura send me a Bible verse every morning. I'm not sure how you guys work that out, but it's one I need. Are you reading my mail? What is going on, Todd? Oh, God's doing it. Okay. But every morning I get a Bible verse, and from these guys, get a little beep on my phone, and there it is. And it's always one I need for the day. In fact, everything I get out of the Bible is something I need. But as I said, you need to read the Bible individually, obviously, but you need to read it together, and you need to pray together. And that's how my wife and I start our day. Every day we read the Bible, we hold hands, we pray together, and then we go out into this world, which is absolutely insane. Okay? Second thing, husbands and wives should pray and talk about the Lord together. Discuss the Lord. There's nothing any more exciting than discussing the Lord. Look in verse 19. Here he said, husbands, love your wives and do not be resentful toward them. You know what will help this relationship over and over and over again is to read the Bible and pray together. Now, a verse that many of you here this morning very familiar with, go back to Ephesians 5. We're going to talk about this this morning and again in the preaching hour and again tonight. But go back to Ephesians 5 and look at a verse there. Okay, number 19. Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, my wife is the only person in the world thinks my singing is good. So she, everybody else hears me for what it is. She hears me through the filter of love, and so she thinks it's good. Read the Bible together, pray together, talk together about the Lord. And then husbands and wives ought to be thankful to the Lord. Look in verse 20 there in Ephesians. Giving thanks, and we use this verse all the time, don't we? But you know where God's using it? In the context of the home. It doesn't mean it doesn't apply to everything else, because he says all things. But we're talking about the home here, and that's what God's talking about here. And look in verse 20 now. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we would spend more time thanking God for our husband and our wife, thanking God for our home, thanking God for our family, instead of complaining about what's wrong with it? Things would be a whole lot better. Whole lot better, okay? Because that's what God intends for us to do. Let's leave the second thought now. The family is God's corporation, if you please. It's God's institution. As I said, there's only two, and the home is one of them, the family is one of them. But it's God's corporation, because a lot that God says about the home and about the church are in a corporate structure. He talks about the pastor and about the deacons and about the elders, and he talks about the corporate structure of the church, but he also talks about the corporate structure of the marriage. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. Another verse we looked at a lot over the weekend. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's read that verse together, okay? But I want, this is a corporate structure now of the home, of the family. Please remember that as we look at this. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. That should not be any difficulty, okay? Christ, gentlemen, every man in here, all right? Christ should be your head. The head of woman is who? The man. There's where it begins to break down. There's where the world attacks. There's where the trouble starts. Do you realize the conflict between man and woman, husband and wife, goes back to the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. It started there. When God said after the sin, and so he was talking about the judgment, he said, now you ladies are going to rebel over what I'm about to say to you. Now this is translation according to Sykes, so you'll have to go find it yourself. But it's in there, all right, guarantee you. He said, you're not going to like what I'm about to say. First of all, he said to the men, guys, you had it made. All you had to do is go out and pick the fruit. No weeds, no bugs, nothing. Put you in a perfect garden, beautiful garden. All you need to eat, to wear, everything is right here for you. And you weren't happy with it. So you know what? I'm going to make you spend the rest of your life working for everything you get. Now, is that a curse? I'm not sure it is. It's a curse in one sense, obviously, because they had it made in the garden. But I think it's a blessing, on the other hand. Because there's great reward, there's great satisfaction in work, isn't there? So it's both, and we need to look at it that way. And the reason I'm going into that is because when we get to the lady, he said, now, Eve, you are going to bear children in great pain. Is that a curse? Yes and no. The pain is bad, I'm sure. My wife tells me I haven't had any children. Do not intend to, okay? For a lot of reasons. But there's pain there. But oh my, the joy. And the New Testament tells us that it's just like enduring anything else. After the pain is over, the pleasure is so great that the pain is soon forgotten. When you hold that baby, suddenly that pain kind of goes away, doesn't it? For the joy of that new life. And that's what God is talking about in his word here. I want to say all that as we finish this verse. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, which part of this verse, I'm going to let you vote, which part of this verse do we need to just mark out, scratch out, take out of our Bible? Which part? There's three parts to it. Is it not right that Christ is in subjection to God? Is that not right? Should we change that? If we change that, there wouldn't be no cross. Wouldn't be no salvation. Wouldn't be no redemption. Should we just mark that one out? How many want to mark that one out? Christ has no need to be in subjection to God. Just, okay. And let's look at the second one. Men should be in subjection to Christ. Now, he's going to talk about the woman later. This is not mankind. This is men, okay? God talks about mankind a lot, but here he's not talking about mankind. He's talking about man. So a man should be in subjection to Christ. How many of you think that's ridiculous? Let's just mark that one out, okay? Scratch her out, boy. Doesn't belong. We only got one left. Women should be in subjection to their husbands. How many of you want to cross that one out? I didn't get a vote. Brother Lanny, the next time one of them comes to you, remember they had their chance to vote. So what are we going to do? Leave the whole verse in? I think that's best. Out knocking doors one day in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was in a mobile home park. Knocked on the door of a trailer. Man came to the door, told him who I was. I was Leon Sykes. I'm from such and such a church. And just out telling people about Jesus. He said, don't want to hear that. I said, do you go to church? Of course, no, he didn't from that answer. No, don't go to church. He said, but I will talk to you a minute if you'll let me show you something. I said, okay, I'm here. He didn't invite me in, so we're talking through the door there. But anyway, he comes back with a Bible. He said, I want you to look something up in the book of James for me. I said, okay. And so I started. Now I'm a new Christian. I hadn't been saved 6 months. I didn't know where James was. But I found it. And I'm praying. I'm looking and I'm praying. I knew it was in the New Testament. And I'm looking and I'm praying. I came across. I couldn't find it. Frank, and so I finally said to him, I said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, I'm a new Christian, and I'm not able to find James. I said, I found where, I think it in my Bible, it's right next to Hebrews. And he said, yeah, it was that in my Bible too, till I cut it out. He said, didn't like what he had to say. So I just cut it out and threw it away. Boy, for a new Christian, that was a shock. I didn't even know what to say. I was stunned that somebody would do that to the Word of God. Well, of course, you know, the man was lost. He didn't go to church. I'm not sure. I was so stunned that kind of ended the conversation because I took a minute to ask him if he knew the Lord as Savior, and I knew what that answer was too. So I left. But to this day, I don't know what it was in James that he was so unhappy about, but he just cut it out. Now, why did I say all that? Just to get back to the verse I read a moment ago. Folks, we can't pick and choose which commands of God to believe. We just can't do that. All things, every word is given under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's all God's Word. And you take out, when you start taking out, I worked for an architect in Springfield years ago when I was going to seminary. And he and I occasionally would take a road trip to go look at a project or go see how a project was getting along. And so the minute we'd leave, he'd start talking about the Bible and religion. And I always dreaded that because the man was not saved. I knew he wasn't. I'd talk to him about the Lord, and that made him mad. But he wanted to argue. And he said, let me ask you a question one day. We were driving down the road. He said, let me ask you a question. I said, okay, you're the boss. Ask me what you want. He said, do you believe all the miracles of the Bible? I said, yes, sir. Don't you? Well, I knew he didn't. He said, no, I don't. He said, there's just some of them you can't believe. I said, well, I don't have that difficulty. But I said, how do you decide which ones to believe? How do you decide which miracles to believe? Or how do you decide which commands to obey? Can't do it, okay? Now, three things here about this corporation called the home. First of all, there are positions, and we just looked at that. There's a husband and a wife. There's a mother and a father. We can all maintain personal identities and goals in life while having a real concern for the growth and future of each other. It is a partnership, okay? There's management. Look at the second point up there. Not only do we have positions like a husband or like a wife, everything, when you get married, everything changes. A man becomes a husband. A woman becomes a wife. Then when you have children, you become a mother and you become a father. And all of this stuff is changing, and the rules are all changing. Not God's rules, but the rules of life in a sense. There is management. Management in a corporation always has to be management. And God gives us a clue to the management. He said, use your time and energy wisely. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says, redeem the times for the time for the days are what?
Evil.
Redeem the use the time you got the very best you can. Because especially when you get my age, you realize you've pretty much run out. I've got a whole lot more behind me than I've got in front of me. I'll guarantee you. So I need to use every minute, every second, every hour, every day. I need to use it wisely. I've chosen to do that in serving the Lord the best I can. You have to make a living. I understand that. Okay? But that cannot, listen to me now, that cannot be the number one priority in your home. Okay. It's fine to make a living. It's fine to make money. Nothing wrong with money. Nothing wrong with money. It's what we think about money that's the problem. Okay. The love of money is the evil, not the money. Money is just a stationary thing. So making a living, you have to make a living. You have to keep a home. You have to establish a well-adjusted home environment. You need to regulate social and recreational activities. We had four boys who loved sports, athletics. It doesn't matter what. I mean, they played every sport. If it was called a sport, they played it. Everything from the two youngest ended up ping pong champions. The entire state playing ping pong. They also went to the nationals in football and basketball. Got scholarships to college in football. They love sports. And boy, you talk about crazy trying to keep up with four boys of different ages in different sports. Like to drove us crazy. And, of course, I was pastoring at the same time. Of course, churches don't take any time, do they? Just a little bit on Sunday morning, that's it. So, no, listen, this is a full-time job. Pastoring is a 24/7 job, okay? 24/7. We're up on a mountain doing a marriage retreat, and suddenly Brother Lanny gets a text about Miss Emma. Where's he headed to? Fayetteville. You know, it just never quits, okay? We have an answering machine, but if we're home, we answer the phone. I just feel like I'm on duty. That's what God's called me to do. So the point I'm trying to make here is it is hard to regulate all of that. I was talking to Russell yesterday about Wesley. And Wesley's got a rodeo, seemed like, nearly every night, but then the other kids have activities also. And he said, man, we're having to really work at regulating everything and keeping everything in perspective and everything in order. And you've got to do that, okay? One thing can't overrule everything else. And bottom line, okay, about management, you've got to make church a vital part of your life. Not something you do on Sunday if you got nothing else to do. This church needs to be a vital part of your life, of your family, of your home. It has to have priority. You say, well, preacher, why does a church have to have priority? Very simply, because Jesus said so. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Okay? The Bible says Jesus, what? Loved the church. And what did he do? He gave himself for it. He loved it. He loved the church. He died for the church. And folks, it cannot be just kind of an offhanded thing that we throw in. If we like, maybe we need it a little this week. It's got to be a priority, and it must. I think we have to establish priorities, and let me just give you mine. You don't have to agree with that at all, okay? But it's my priority. It always has been, will be till the day I die. My priority is, number one, God. He's first. And, of course, when I say God, I'm talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit. God is number one. My family is number two, and the church is number three. I think that's biblical. But I'm certainly not going to neglect any one of them for the benefit of the other. I'm not going to. God's priorities never conflict. Did you know that? God's priorities never conflict. I can give the church all the time that God wants me to. I can give my family all the time God wants me to. And I can give God all the time He wants me to. And still get it all done if I'll do it His way. Priorities. And then, it's a partnership. Every corporation has positions, it has management, and it has partnership. And the partnership in a home is in every area. Work, finances, play, responsibility. My wife and I discuss everything. Do we always agree? No. We don't always agree. But we always agree to disagree, and we always come to an agreement. Okay? We agree to disagree, and we always come to an agreement about what God wants us to do and what God's will is in a situation. Bless her heart, I've drug her all over the country. She reminds me occasionally of that. But you know what? She's always been willing to go because she's always known it was God's will, because we've always prayed about it and asked God to make it clear and make us, you know, give us surety that it's what God wants us to do. So, partners in work, partners in finances, partners in play. We had a good time. We had a fun time. Like a bunch of little kids, they were going around Friday night TPing the rooms. If you don't know what TPing means, ask me after church. But if you've ever had a teenager, you know exactly. I had four boys. We never had to buy toilet paper during their high school years. I tell you, it's a shock to walk out your front door some morning and the trees looks like it snowed in the middle of summer. But the rule was simply this, guys. You get TP'd, you clean it up. So I don't know how they worked all that out, but that was their responsibility. But we did some playing over the weekend. A lot of teaching, a lot of praying, did some singing. But you know what? We also had some fun. In fact, you can't go anywhere with this guy without having fun. You learn quickly. Love your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Do not ever turn your back on your pastor. You really don't know what's coming next. So, folks, there's nothing wrong with playing. Christians do not have to spend their life like this. God wants us to have fun. Okay? He put us here to have fun. But it's not all fun and games. I understand that. But there's time for play. And then, of course, responsibilities. Now, let's look at the third thing quickly this morning. We're running out of time. I knew we would. The family is God's force in the world. Okay? The family is God's force in the world. I believe with all my heart the spiritual condition of a husband and wife will determine husbands and wives. Let me broaden that out a little bit. The spiritual conditions of husbands and wives. That's why I do these seminars. My wife and I have done them all over the country. I believe the spiritual condition of husbands and wives will determine the spiritual condition of a church. In fact, Peter's more explicit. He said, "You husbands and wives, dwell together according to understanding, so your prayers are not hindered." In other words, if you're not getting along, husbands and wives, then your prayer life is shot. And you can tell me different, but I believe the Word of God, okay? Your prayer life is shot if you're not getting along with your wife or your husband. So I think the spiritual condition of the husband and wife determine the spiritual condition of the church. Secondly, I think the spiritual condition of the church determines the spiritual condition of America. Now listen to me. Our nation is in a mess, and it's the fault of the church. Not Osage Baptist Church. Not any church I've ever pastored. But it's the fault of the church in America, because we've got churches that will not take a stand on anything. They've gone liberal. They're approving all of these laws that are contrary to the Word of God. It's time the church stood up on their hind legs and took a stand for the Word of God. Because that's what's wrong with our country. I blame the church as an entity. And please don't misunderstand, the church is Jesus, and he loved it. And I love the church, but I'm talking about the church out there that is not in line with the Word of God and not preaching the Word of God. Thank God we have a pastor that preaches the Bible, because folks, that's not the norm, okay? That's not the norm. There are a lot of others. I don't mean to imply this is the only one by any means, but there's a lot of churches that do not preach the Bible. And thank God that that goes on around here. And then the spiritual health of America determines the spiritual health of the world, because we're the country sending out the missionaries. Are we used to be? Do you realize there are 5 countries now sending missionaries to America because they realize we have gotten so bad spiritually? We're getting missionaries from Korea, from the Philippines, to come over here and win us to Jesus. Because we're not doing the job God called. America has the money, the resources, the energy, the people to evangelize the world. And we're not making a dent. So that's what I mean when I say the spiritual condition of the church determines the spiritual condition of the world. Because Jesus said we're to go into all the world and take the gospel to every creature. That's a good place to stop right there. Won't you stand with me this morning? Thank you.